If you've been thinking about getting serious with your money, like actually serious, now's the time. The Motley Fool is offering new members 50% off their iconic stock recommendation service, Stock Advisor. This is the same service that's crushed the market with recommendations that have returned 1,057% since inception, compared to the S&P 500's 180% over that same period. This isn't guesswork. The Motley Fool has a track record of finding companies before they become household names. So if you want to invest smarter and you like saving money while doing it, go to fool.com/listen to claim your 50% off discount off a one-year term of Stock Advisor. Again, that's fool.com/listen. Returns of 1,057% are from the Motley Fool's product Stock Advisor and measured against S&P 500 returns of 180% as of July 10th, 2025. Past performance is not an indicator of future results. All investing involves a risk of loss. Individual investment results may vary.
Don't sweat the technique. We're back with a killer beat
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Bang, bang. Killer Bees, Cactus Jacks out in Mont Bellevue. We're a rock's throw away from the Mont Bellevue sign for all you people arguing Baytown, including the person who wrote our script. But a good time. Promo team is out here. They're signing people up to win the e-bikes, the $4,000 value from Power On E-Bikes. So if you're in the area, swing on by. If you can't make it out today, well, they're open late. We're going to have some acoustic music a little bit later. Also, just a great spot at any time. We're going to be out at Drift tomorrow as well. The new ESPN Houston app is live. Download the new version. New app allows you to sign up and enter to win our giveaways whenever we have them. Hit the go button and you'll see the new features that will include immediate access to the text and call-in line, all of our social media platforms, and our YouTube channel. There's also a chat feature in the app that listeners can use to interact with each other and other shows. Tomorrow we'll have Todd Kylas on at 4:30, and then we'll have Jim Deshays, a Chicago Cub color commentator, former Astro color commentator, and probably about the seventh best left-handed starter in Houston Astro history. Probably there.
That low?
Yeah, I think so.
Have you
so.
Done the ranking?
Yeah. Were you not on the show that day? Of course you weren't. You're off all the
That's
time.
That's right. Yeah, it's when we were in
I think it was because the whole basis of the segment
Kima, right?
was that Fromber was now the best.
I think we're at the Kima boardwalk.
Are we?
Yeah.
I would have – I have Fromber number one.
Yeah, I remember that.
Dallas is probably number two. You could throw in – I mean, Bob Knepper – he's in the mix. Bob Knepper has the most wins for a lefty, but he was sub-500. He was 93-100, and he had 3.66 ERA. So he would be ahead of Deshays. I would have Wandy ahead of Deshays.
Yeah, I think so.
Deshays was – I think Deshays was right around 500 lifetime, too. He might even have a losing record as an Astro. His ERA was so-so. It wasn't bad, but it was kind of so-so. Wandy has the second most wins for a lefty with 80 in Astro franchise history. But was also under 500. He was 80 and 84 as an Astro. And his ERA was kind of mid, 4.04
yeah.
ERA. I think you have to put Mike Hampton in the mix, 76 and 50, 3.59 ERA. Not as short as you think.
No, well, when he did the research, it's not.
Well, okay, correct me if wrong, but I'm sorry, what I mean by short window is like short window of dominance.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he had a 14.1 war in his Houston Astro tenure, which is the third best of any left-handed starter.
How much of that was the one year where he won 22 games,
Second
though?
Place Cy Young.
Yeah.
Probably a good amount.
Yeah.
Probably a good amount. But it's not a – I mean, it's not a – massive list. Andy Pettit would be in the mix here.
Oh,
short window.
Short window, good. A lot of success.
I mean, and if you want to put Randy Johnson, yes, it was one half a season, but was unbelievable.
It's 11-1.
Something like
that.
I think
it was like 11-1.
I think it was 11-1.
So
yeah.
I would have Deshays behind those guys. Mike Cuellar. People forget about Mike Cuellar. Now, Mike Cuellar did most of his work once he left Houston when he got traded to Baltimore, which I think is the worst trade in Houston Astro history. He was traded with Elijah Johnson and Enzo Hernandez to Baltimore for John Mason, Kurt Belfry, and that's it. And then Cuellar would then go on to finish like runner-up in the Cy Young like the next 2 years.
Carlos Gomez, Mike Fiers, say hello.
Well, that was more off the field.
Yeah, fair, but
that
still.
Wasn't Hader in that deal?
Yeah, that was
pretty bad trade.
I mean, Fiers wasn't awful for you, like on the field. If we eliminate all the rat stuff,
of course, but you can't though.
Had a no-no.
You can't technically, but if you're talking about a player's performance on the field, Fiers wasn't a train wreck.
No, he wasn't a train wreck on the field.
The worst part of that trade is what happened because you had Fiers
and you gave up Hader.
Sure, but that, I mean, losing a reliever isn't as bad as losing Mike Weyar, who would, like, lead the league in wins.
2 years in a row, right? Or compete.
Something like that. Like, I think he finished second in Cy Young 1 year after you traded
him. I'd rather
him.
Lose that guy than go through the what happened.
See,
because
that's
of the,
why I said on the field.
Okay.
Like, if you're going strictly on the field, I'd rather, like, let's make it a Josh Hader, Mike Cuellar conversation. Would you have rather lost Josh Hader, who turned out to be one of the best relievers in baseball, or would you rather lose Mike Cuellar, who turned out to be one of the best starters in baseball?
On that, I would agree with you.
But off the field, you're 100% right whenever you add that to the equation, which you have to. I understand what you're saying. 713-780-ESPN. I forgot what I teased here. What did we tease? Texans?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, Texans.
Yep.
Joe yelling at us. Hey, talk Texans. Arr. There you go. That's what the sounder sounds like. So I've been looking at this. Like, a lot of people are looking at this Jared Patterson thing, yeah, where he was talking about the offensive line last year and, like, when they started to change things up. And it was after the bye. And if you look at it, it's whenever they started to lean into the gap scheme over the zone scheme, running the football. And when you pull up the numbers, they did run the football better post-bye than pre-bye. And Jared Patterson in this clip is talking about, well, that was kind of because of Pop. Pop kind of led us to that way. And, like, that's a good sign, I think. And, like, is that real? Is that tangible? And, look, run blocking isn't the same as pass protection. I understand that. So it's, like, hard to sync up the two sides of that. But I think to be really optimistic about that, like, if we're going to jump all in and be like, well, look, this was the difference. Whenever they went to this scheme instead of this scheme, gap instead of zone, and we started running the ball a little bit better, awesome. Like, if you really want to take a lot of optimism from that, I feel like you need to be able to pass protect better too, right? Like, if we want to really dive into that, like, this is the thing that we can point at as to why our offensive line is going to be better. We ran the ball better after the bye. Well, how did you do in pass protection after the bye? Does that add up too? Were you also better after the bye in terms of pass protection? And I crunched the numbers on this, and they were not. I was hoping that they would be because it would give me more optimism about the state of the offensive line going into this season. But C.J. Stroud post-bye was sacked 3.7 times. Prior to the bye, 3.2. So, like, yes, the run game got better, but the pass protection got worse.
And were there any injuries during that final stretch of games?
Yeah, I mean, but they weren't to your key cogs.
Okay.
Remember, Shaq Mason was hurt, and then they put him back into the starting lineup against Kansas City.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think if there was any factors were missing in that to where the pass protection might have been worse because someone got hurt and the scheme worked. I'm with you. I like the fact that if this was a Popovich move late in the season and it had success, maybe that leads you to believe that's part of the reason why they gave him the full-time job for this year, saying the fact that, hey, this guy knows what he's doing. If you could have just gotten out of his way and taken some of his suggestions, you might have been better all season.
Like, I like that they were better in the run game after the bye versus before the bye, and because they changed to a gap scheme instead of a zone scheme. That's great. That's wonderful. But I can only go halfway with the thought if you also weren't better in pass protection. And I know the pushback's going to be, you idiot, run blocking isn't the same as pass pro. But you are giving up a little bit something whenever you change the schemes.
You are. And I think that the other thing that at least – from how we're weighing all this, because I heard that, you know, Slowick was catching a lot after this as well.
He was.
But at the same time, when you look at it, Mixon had his success no matter what they were running for a majority of the season. When he wasn't hurt, Mixon had success. Now, they had more success blocking from the run game perspective, as you mentioned, when they made the switch. But overall, the most important thing that you have to do, and I know you have to do both, but you have to protect CJ, because without your quarterback playing at a higher level and not turning the ball over and not making the mistakes that he – and going through the clock in his head the way he did a year ago, it basically turned the entire offense kind of on its ear.
So are we going real tangible on this, or are we going kind of just it's BS, whatever?
I mean, can't both be true. The fact that from a running perspective it was better, so
yeah,
it's real. And I think that it definitely made a difference. But the fact that the pass protection didn't get better – means it's something that's not going to tell you that it's the solution, the end-all, be-all, and just the no-brainer.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, it doesn't have to be binary yes, no. It's more of like a halfway for me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a halfway glad. Like, I'm halfway, like, yay. I'm halfway, like, homering it. But then when you tell the whole story, I actually don't like the way that it's presented, actually. Like, look at what happened after the bye when we changed from a zone scheme to a gap scheme. Like, they tell half of the story. That's the run game story. So it's kind of like a homerish approach to this take. Like, it's great that it helped the run game, but it didn't help pass protection, and I understand the two different things. But pass protection actually got worse once you made the change. So I don't love the way that the news is presented, quite frankly. I think it's like a homerish, like very optimism outlook.
It's framing the argument
in a way.
It. Yeah.
I don't love the framing of it. Like, I kind of see through the framing. So it kind of annoys me on that front, that I can see through the framing. Like, don't give me half the story, and the half that you're giving me is positive, and then the other half that you're giving me is negative. When you take it in totality, I think it is slightly a positive. I'm not going to a 10. I'm going to about a 5. Great. It helped the run game. Now, can it help pass protection whenever you add in a new offensive coordinator, when you move the pieces around? So I think it's a good first step, but I'm not going to jump to any conclusions on the half story that was definitely framed in one specific way.
No, but it's encouraging enough to say, hey, if Popovich gets to make all the decisions on the offensive line, I think that's where it's a bigger positive. And then when you bring in Kaylee and you bring in different schemes that can kind of help and assist, and new personnel that Popovich would know better than anybody in terms of who wasn't carrying their weight, who wasn't doing and in the meetings and on the practice field what they needed to do, that maybe that all adds to a much better and more successful blocking scheme this year.
Texter, you also lost your second-best receiver, which makes it hard to get the ball off faster. Yeah, it's a fair point. I think touche. I think it's a great point, Texter. No argument there whatsoever. Texter, the Texans got the Rams week one versus that elite pass rush. Yeah, we're going to see.
Is that key again?
We're going to see. I don't know. 747 Erico.
Oh, that's key.
He didn't put his name on
it,
though.
Yeah, that's key.
Branham, to put an end to your Mount Bellevue Baytown debate, if something goes down at Cactus Jacks, not that it ever would, Mount Bellevue PD responds, not Baytown PD, from your friendly local officer.
How does that listener know that?
Because he's an officer.
Well, I started to ask the question before Jeremy.
From your friendly local officer. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your service, too.
That'll wrap it all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll put the exclamation mark on the end of that.
I
think there's one more step. I think we need to put the local officer's theory to the test.
Oh, really?
Let's start some stuff.
Oh.
Let's create some nonsense here. Let's see who shows up. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Who are the top coaches in the NFL? Who are the top coaches currently in the NFL? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees live from Cactus Jacks in Mont Bellevue on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What did we decide on the big voice guy's name, Don? We're calling him Don?
Yep. Don, like Don Pardo.
Put Don on the list. But Don, he said that we're broadcasting live at Cactus Jack's Bang Bang in Baytown. Big Voice Don is wrong. We're in Mont Bellevue. 713-780-ESPN. So who are the best coaches in the NFL? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Texter says both Harbaughs, Key from L.A. and Sean McVay. Then you can make your list. The idea was inspired by Pro Football Focus. Saw their list the other day. It was comically bad, but it inspired us to come up with our own top 10 coaches currently in the NFL. We combined ours. You'll see those on our Twitter a little bit later, or actually now at ESPN 975. We have a consensus Killer Bee top 10 head coach. But before we look at our consensus, let's go individually. Age before beauty, Blankers. What is your top 10?
I got to pull mine back out.
I'll go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
Okay, my top 10, Andy Reid, number one. I mean, obviously, I obviously weighted it towards, mostly towards championships, but then after that it was kind of who would I want to coach my team if they had to take over this year. Andy Reid's the obvious choice. After that, Sean McVay. Then I go John Harbaugh.
I noticed a spelling error on the graphic.
Oh, really?
That's right.
I double checked all those.
Yeah, the Harbaughs are right.
Oh, I had the error.
Yeah, the A is. People put an A in there that shouldn't.
I had the error. That's my bad.
Yeah, I double checked. I put all those into Google to see if it spit back any spelling errors.
I made the list, H.
Yeah.
Anna made the list.
All right, so Andy Reid, Sean McVay, John Harbaugh, my top three. This is where I think we differed the most, my next one. I don't think you had, I don't want to spoil the thing, but Kyle Shanahan I have number four. Then Jim Harbaugh, D'Amico Ryans, Sean Payton, Kevin O'Connell, Mike Tomlin, Dan Campbell rounds out my top 10.
All right.
Okay, I had, Brian, and you can double check me because I made a late switch.
Oh, I'll pull up your text, yeah.
Yeah. So I think we all were pretty much similar. I had Andy Reid, Sean McVay, John Harbaugh, top three. Then I had Jim, four?
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh, yeah.
Four. Sirianni is five.
Wow, yep. That's high.
Yeah, because he's your guy. That's why I did that.
I have a Sirianni bias.
I know. I put Shanahan six.
Yes.
LaFleur seven.
Correct.
DeMeco eight.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin O'Connell nine. And Mike Tomlin, number 10.
That's a little low for Tomlin, huh? Where'd you have Tomlin, Brian?
I had Tomlin eighth.
I had him 10.
Okay. My top 10, I go Reed 1, McVay 2, John Harbaugh 3, Baltimore 1. Tomlin 4, Ryan's 5, Peyton 6, O'Connell 7, Vrabel 8, Harbaugh 9, Campbell 10. Whenever you combine and come up with our consensus, the Killer Bee top 10 NFL head coaches, we have Reed at 1, McVay at 2, John Harbaugh 3, Jim Harbaugh 4, DeMeco Ryan's 5, even though Ryan's beat Jim Harbaugh in the playoffs this past year, Kyle Shanahan 6, Mike Tomlin 7, Sean Payton 8, Kevin O'Connell 9, and Nick Sirianni 10. So, Brian, whenever you were combining these and putting these together, what was the biggest discrepancy?
I think the biggest discrepancy was Sirianni because he only made the top 10 for one of us, but he was so high on Joel's list that he beat out guys. Like, Dan Campbell was on two of our lists. So was who was one of the other
so
ones?
So who left out Campbell?
I did.
Joel did.
Wow, why?
Yeah, I did because I want to see what he can be without two good coordinators. Because I think that he can talk about biting kneecaps off and be a motivational guy, but I got to see what he can do now that he's got two new coordinators and how much it was the coordinators.
Okay.
The other big ones, only Jeremy had Mike Vrabel on his list. Joel and I did not. And then I think maybe the biggest one of all, I don't know, Sirianni's pretty big.
Vrabel bias, huh?
The other one was Joel and I, me more than Joel, had Joel had Shanahan 6. I had him 4, so we both had him, you know, decently high. You didn't have him on your list
at all. I have him 11th on my list. Yeah,
he's made two Super Bowls.
Win. Oh, like,
okay.
I am very
Dan
much.
Campbell, Dan Campbell's on your list. He hasn't made a Super Bowl.
Who went further last year in the
Vrabel
NFL?
Hasn't made a Super Bowl. Kevin O'Connell hasn't
Vrabel
made a Super Bowl.
Vrabel went to a conference.
DeMeco hasn't made a Super
Can
Bowl.
Can I make my point?
I'm making my point.
Vrabel went to the conference championship with a terrible team. This, like, the way that I constructed my list, I constructed it based on who I would hire as a head coach in order. Like, if I'm an NFL owner, general manager, I have just, you know, random team, average team, whatever, who I think would give me the best chance to win football games going forward. So, like, I don't really like the resume argument a whole lot. Like, Nick Sirianni won the Super Bowl last year. I had Nick Sirianni 13th. Like, I don't believe in Nick Sirianni versus some of the other coaches in the NFL. I think one of the biggest reasons the Eagles won the NFL championship last year, the Super Bowl championship, was because their team is unbelievable.
Agreed.
I give way more credit to the team. I give way more credit to Howie Roseman. They stripped Sirianni of play calling duties. They tried to take responsibility away from Sirianni. Hey, Sirianni, stop hanging out with our quarterback. You're getting in the way. So that part kind of is why I diminish Sirianni. Shanahan, I have concerns about the West Coast offense going forward. I think Shanahan is great from, like, an offensive mind. I'm wondering if that offensive system might be on its way out. But even if it's not, I'm not sure Shanahan's, like, this massive culture guy. I think he's more like offensive, like, whiz kid, but doesn't have this great foundation of culture, and I am big on the culture. I think it's something that we've severely underrate, especially at the professional level. And you see some of my top coaches are culture guys. Like, I think Andy Reid, yes, he's an offensive, like, whiz. I think he's the best offensive mind we've seen in NFL history. But I think he's a guy who has a strong foundation of culture. I think both the Harbaughs do. That's why they're both in the top 10. Mike Tomlin's a culture guy. DeMeco Ryan's a huge culture guy. Dan Campbell is a huge culture guy. And that's why I had Vrabel in the top 10 and not Sirianni.
See, the Sirianni argument to me is kind of the anti-Dan Campbell, because I, to some degree, I still have question marks about him, but what I can't get away from is the fact that he made one and lost the Super Bowl and then lost both coordinators and 2 years later made another one and won it and has one on his resume. So to me, like, in that short window of time to make two Super Bowls, to win one, you lost both your coordinators. You had an awful year in the year you were talking about, but then found the right offensive coordinator to replace the one that wasn't clicking. and you not only get back there, but you win. And I understand, because I agree with you, Howie Roseman is a genius, and I think that getting Saquon Barkley was huge. I just can't get away from the fact that you made two in a three-year span.
I just don't put a lot of that on him. And maybe that's unfair because, I mean, they lose the two coordinators after the year they lose to the Chiefs. He kind of takes on a bigger role, and then the team tanks down the stretch. They start off 10-1,
that's right,
and then lose like five games in a row to close the season, a flame out in the playoffs to believe the Buccaneers, and then they're like, okay, we need more experienced coordinators. They bring in I'm forgetting the guy that went to the Saints.
Yeah.
They bring in more experienced coordinators, and all of a sudden the team rebounds. So I don't know. I just put it on the coaches around them and an unbelievable roster, which obviously we mentioned Saquon, but the defense was – I mean, they killed Mahomes.
That's why it's tough to, like, come together with these, because it's everybody has a different definition. Like, a lot of people might go resume. I went more of, like, 1 through 32. Who would I hire as a head coach?
Sure.
Because I think sometimes there's mediocre head coaches that win Super Bowls. But like, oh, yeah, he's a Super Bowl champion, so we need to have him very, very high. I don't think Nick Sirianni's a top 10 coach in the NFL. Like, I just don't. Yes, did he win the most recent Super Bowl? Yeah. Would I pick Sirianni over D'Amico? D'Amico hadn't even been to a conference title game. Nope, sure wouldn't.
Here's the other way that kind of like an alternative way of looking about where I was putting him too was from a Tomlin perspective. I know he's probably worn out everything that he could possibly do in Pittsburgh, but he never had a losing record. At the same time, the way I weigh things is, if these guys lost their job tomorrow, how many of them would have another job? That's what would knock Sirianni for me. I'm not sure how many guys would hire Nick Sirianni. I think Mike Tomlin would have got teams lining up to hire Mike Tomlin, and it's everything that you said on top of it. It's culture. It's the ability to understand and deal with players. It's his defensive mindset, but it's also the fact that he just finds a way to win. And that's why I had to have him. I thought about, should he be on my top 10 anymore? Has some of the offense passed him by? He's just too damn good for too long. And if he lost his job, a team would come calling immediately and say, we want to hire you.
So Keith said Sean McVay. We're all high on McVay, but we had McVay at number two. We had Reed ahead of him. Texter Reed, John Harbaugh, Tomlin, McVay. Another texter says Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin disrespect is crazy. Says a texter, putting D'Amico in the top 10 is a joke. He coaches in a terrible division, so his numbers are inflated. So anti-D'Amico text there. Tampa's coach is top five. I'm not putting Todd Bowles in my top five.
No.
He's not in my top five.
And hating on D'Amico, the quick turnaround, and yes, you hit on the quarterback, but that's between you and your general manager already in short time, building a relationship, making moves that work for your franchise, and then turning it around where we thought it might be a 3 to 5 year window at best to turn the whole thing around and have the success that he had and win back-to-back divisions. I don't think you can sleep on that.
I'm a big leadership culture guy. Like, I think it's a very under. We sit here and we talk about these NFL head coaches. Like, well, is he an offensive mastermind? Is he a defensive mastermind? And then we devalue the leadership aspect of it. And I think the leadership's the most important part of it. Offenses can come and go. Defenses can come and go. You can hire the latest, greatest offensive coordinator. Would it help to be both? Yes. But I put leadership in a higher regard than I do, like, scheme. I'll always have that thought. Texter says Shanahan's getting too much love. Texter, totally agree with the Tomlin in there. Totally disagree with Tomlin in there. He cannot coach in the playoffs, and the Steelers have become a bit of a joke. Yes, I know he has a streak of 10 wins, but he's gone in the first round each of the past 5 years. That's from softball mom Allison, who does note her bias is towards the Bengals.
Yeah, okay, well, that helps Allison because he's gotten to multiple Super Bowls. He's won a Super Bowl.
I mean, to be fair, you had him 10. You had him the lowest of the three of us.
I know, but I still that's why I'm justifying that he should be.
You're arguing for Tomlin, and you had him the lowest of the three.
Because a lot of people don't think he should be in the top 10 anymore. I'm arguing that he deserves to be in the top 10 somewhere.
Texter, Quinn should be in the top 10. I had him 15.
He was 12 for me.
Yeah, 12. I mean, he's top half for me. I can't quite put him in the top 10 yet.
I mean, it's been 1 year. I mean, well,
he had some years prior.
I know the Super Bowl loss for the Falcons gets largely put on Shanahan.
It does.
But you can't – I mean, Quinn still knows what's about to happen. I can't completely just –
The argument is that he coached the defense and Shanahan coached the offense.
Sure, but Dan Quinn knows they're about to call a pass when all they need is a field goal to ensure the game. And obviously Matt Ryan gets sacked.
And he only ran the ball twice in the second half.
Yeah, like I – Dan Quinn's still on the headset. I can't absolve him of all blame there.
Texture says mound visits. Leadership, baby, mound visits. So Sean McDermott isn't a leader culture guy. He's got questionable leadership tactics.
Who does he look to for leadership?
That's questionable leadership tactics.
Go Google the story. Yeah. That's all we got
to
say.
I would have McDermott higher than I currently have him. I do feel, and not all of it's on him, I do think some of it's to do with Josh Allen. I feel like they have a roster that should have had more success than they've had.
It's almost like the second coming of the Bills run where you were good, just not good enough 5 years in a row.
Calling him Marv Levy?
Yeah. I'm saying he's not. Marv Levy light. He wasn't as achieved. He didn't achieve as much as that Marv Levy that run did. At the same time, they've been really good. They just haven't found any way to get over the hump. And you'd think at least 1 year in that run, they'd find a way to go further, do more, beat Patrick Mahomes, and then get there. Joe Burrow got there in a year. That's where I would dock him as well.
Todd Bowles' top five is a Skip Bayless level take. Texter going after a Texter.
That's ridiculous.
For the guy that hates on D'Amico, you also have to add the fact that coach helps picks the team that should be considered. It's case by case. Like, there's some NFL teams that give the coach a lot more power than other NFL organizations, so it just depends. Like, Bill Belichick had a lot of control over his roster. David Culley had very little control on his roster. So it's, you know, case by case.
Wasn't the Texans radio, I think, did a one-on-one with EJ Speed, and he was talking about having looked at D'Amico, then talking to D'Amico about how D'Amico's been able to develop players into more than they maybe would have turned out anywhere else. When you look at the Fred Warner before that, he had the defensive back that just signed a big free agent deal.
Hufanga?
Yeah, Hufanga. He's had guys, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round defensive draft picks that turn out to be all pros and really, really above average football players.
I think he brings out the best in defensive players especially.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would absolutely give him credit for that.
Even if we just want to go resume, the 2 years before he got here, they won 7 games. The 2 years he's been here, they won 20.
That's what I'm saying. The two-year turnaround is unbelievable.
That's a 13-game difference.
Now, the point made about the fact that, which I brought up, the correlation is also the fact that there was synergy immediately between him and Nick. They were able to put this team together on the quick and kind of overhaul everything. They've had success as well. And I think the other thing that you mentioned, but I think D'Amico's good at, is he stays out of the offense, although he will listen enough to say, like, if it's a field goal, missed field goal, got to go for a field goal or punt or things like that, he will put his hand back in there when it's necessary.
Yeah. The texter says Pete Carroll deserves a top 10 spot. I had Carroll at 12.
Did you really already?
Yeah. Well, I mean, already. What do you mean?
I mean, he's just getting back.
He's 75 years old.
I know, but I'm saying he's just getting back into the league, and I don't know with time off and his age.
That's fair.
If he's ready to jump right back into the top 10.
See, I think that's why I have him 12. Because if he had been keeping going, I'd probably have him top 5, top 7. Because he is a guy who builds that massive, great culture. I love Pete Carroll. I think Pete Carroll's great.
Chews the crap out of some gum, too.
He does. Texter says, now do the top 5 worst coaches. Okay, let's do that tomorrow. We'll do that tomorrow.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll do that. We're the worst coaches in the NFL. That's coming up tomorrow.
We don't know yet.
I have Liam Cohen 24. I did 1 through 32.
Oh, you did.
Oh, you went
all the way.
I went 1 through 32. I did
1 through 32, so my top 5 are easy. But we'll do it tomorrow. I don't want to blow the segment. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Hall of Famers sometimes don't do Hall of Fame stuff. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, live from Cactus Jacks in Mont Bellevue.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from Cactus Jackson Baytown as part of ESPN Houston Summer Circuit.
Presented in part by our grand prize sponsor, Power On E-Bikes.
From the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
So Hall of Famers sometimes don't do Hall of Fame things. They're not Hall of Famers all the time, right?
24/7, 365, baby.
I mean, I can relate being a wall of shamer. I am a wall of shamer around the clock.
24/7, 365.
I never elevate myself above the wall of shame.
You're talking about breaks. I get it.
So earlier today, our very own Hall of Famer, Lance Zierlein, had a gaffe, huh, Brian?
Yeah, so I was listening this morning, and I saw a tweet. He actually tweeted this out, too. He tweeted out a picture of his sneakers sitting on, like, a little stool. and said, my ADHD got the best of me and forgot these at the house. So you know, I'm listening to the show, and John, I guess John, Lance had sent John and Dell a text like, hey, I might be late. I didn't tell, I can't remember if he told them why in the text, but Lance ended up making it to the show on time. But the story of why he almost was late was unbelievable. Apparently, he gets all the way to the point of turning off into our parking garage and realizes, I don't have any shoes. So at that point, with 16 minutes to go before the show, thankfully he lives close, he had to decide, do I go into work with just socks, or do I turn back around, get my shoes, and drive back? And he did the latter and made it back about 30 seconds before the show started.
Oh, he made it?
About 30 seconds before the show started.
Well, if he made it, I mean, that's not bad.
The question is,
unless
you play
unless
the audio,
you fail and come up short, then that's a pro's move because you judge
your time
well enough.
There's nothing pro about getting to work and realizing you don't have shoes on.
Like, I don't know how anyone could do that.
What would you have done?
I'd just go do the show.
Without shoes?
Yeah. With socks
same.
On?
Yeah.
I would have just worn socks.
I wonder if Lance thought he had shoes in his car.
He's got everything in his office. He probably has something that could even fill in for shoes.
Yeah, like
he,
right.
he, and you'll hear this in the audio. Like I at least assume so. But he said it on air. Like he fully intended to walk to the car, drive without shoes on. Apparently, I guess he prefers that. I don't, whatever. But I guess the thought was he either just forgot that he didn't bring the shoes, or he thought he had shoes in the car.
Yeah.
But I just can't wrap it. Like every step you take.
Every
time you're pressing,
you
thanks,
Dan. Thank you.
Yeah.
Every time you're pressing into
every
the gas pedal or the brake,
you're,
I mean, you're, the feedback, like, oh, I don't have shoes on. Oh, I don't have shoes on. And nowhere in that route until he got right up to
is
the station.
That, I mean, I obviously am never going to understand what goes through Lance's mind. But at the same time, like, I don't understand ever driving. Now, I know that the theory is that when you're tired on the road, if you take your shoe off, that it's supposed to keep you awake.
I've never heard that theory.
I will do that in bad traffic.
That I've heard that that
I
is,
will do
that
that
is a thing.
Like
why not
you,
good traffic?
Well, no, I find like if I'm in bad traffic and I'm stop and go, I feel like I just get more cramped. So just to kind of relax. And plus, you know, it's hard to, if you're going full speed, 75 miles an hour or whatever, you don't really have the ability to take your shoes off. But if you're completely stopped, like it is sometimes when you're passing Minute Maid on 59, then you can take off your shoes.
I drive barefoot at times.
I don't like it.
But your shoes are with you. That's the problem.
Yeah, that too.
Done
yeah.
In a while. I actually made this I didn't make this mistake. I made a similar mistake on Monday. Like I was taking out Monday's trash day, so I was like taking out the trash before the show, like doing some stuff, going out to the truck, putting in my bag, and I just slid my Crocs in and was like, I'm going to put on my shoes later. I'm going to get this out of the way, and then I'll put my shoes on afterwards. And I forgot to put my shoes on and just stayed in my Crocs. So, like, I made a similar mistake, but I had shoes.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to put on my, you know, my Ons. But I forgot, and I just left the Crocs on. Now, it wasn't completely the same. It was only, like, a half measure.
At what point did you realize you didn't have your shoes?
Probably, like, 5 minutes away from the house.
Okay. So, much closer than Lance was.
I mean, no, not really. But, I mean, I don't care if I wear Crocs.
Yeah,
I work
Crocs,
in radio.
No big deal, right? I was going to say, now, me – and it used to be because of the chance that at any minute a basketball game could pop up. But I've always kept at least one extra now because of I don't want to ruin good shoes if we have softball practice or something. So I always have, like, an extra pair of shoes in the trunk of the car that I could go to.
Yeah.
But how do I leave the house in either socks or just no shoes at all without any I would feel and know that I am walking away from my house without anything of substance on my feet.
I used to do it, like, when I was driving to, like, a bud's house or something. Like, I would just hop it. Like, this was back, like, in my early, like, high school days. Like, going to a bud's house, I don't wear shoes around the house. So I would just hop into the car, drive to their house. I'm not going to wear shoes in their house. Just walk right in. So I have driven barefoot before.
You showed up at your buddy's house with no shoes on.
Yeah.
And you walked inside?
Yeah, you're not supposed to have shoes on.
But you have socks on?
No, I don't wear socks. Unless I'm wearing shoes. Mm. No, I would wipe my feet on the little doormat.
Now, is it your bud's house with his parents?
So, yeah.
Oh, my God. I think plenty of parents are going to
have the same reaction. Yeah. If this is in their 20s.
Right, and it's a bachelor pad, no worries.
Completely different conversation, but yeah.
If you're going to some guy's house that's living with his parents, mom or dad or both, are
you walk
have
in barefoot,
serious issues
barefoot
with you.
Outside. Yeah. Then you're walking in with those same bare
putting
feet.
Them dirty dogs on my inside
nope.
house, carpet and floor. Nope.
Nope.
Uh-uh. Not happening.
Let's go. Here was Lance today talking about the no shoes.
At 16 minutes, At 6:44, you sent a text out to me and Dell that said, I forgot my bleeping shoes, or I bleeping forgot my shoes.
Yeah.
Where did, what? Now what now? How did, what?
I left them on the, so I was pulling in and I realized, oh my God, I don't have shoes. I don't have anything in the car I can wear. And I had to make a decision. Do I just go do the show in socks and just walk around in socks the whole show?
So what'd you do, buy shoes?
No, I turned around and sped back to my house because lucky I don't live super far away. And I got back here about 45 seconds before the show started.
There you go. That's interesting.
I mean, you think about it. Where are you not going to be in a time crunch that you can still make good? Either way, you have to drive home without shoes. But if you have to speed home, you're setting yourself up for the potential for more things to go wrong than if you just go upstairs in the studio, you do the show, then you drive home at your leisure, and the rest of the day you can plan shoes, no shoes, I got them, I don't have them, as opposed to, well, I only got 13 minutes, I'm going to step on it, floor it, possibly get pulled over.
Because what we didn't hear in that clip, apparently he got a traffic ticket for speeding not that long ago and is on like the – what do you call it?
Deferred adjudication?
Yes.
If he
got another ticket, then
even
he's,
more reason yes. to not go back home.
Yes.
It's crazy.
And it's not like we've got this hoity-toity environment in the office.
No.
And especially when they're doing the show before most people arrive at the station. No one cares at what's on your feet.
Yeah, John's not even there.
That's crazy.
Yes.
John's not even there.
Now, Dell would call him out.
No, Dell would call him out.
Yeah, but he called himself out anyways.
Right.
Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Robbie, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Robbie?
Say, I just want to know, in y'all's opinion, do you think the Astros can take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs in this next series after they use their 2 workhorses?
Appreciate the call, Robbie, who I'm looking at right here.
Is that a first?
Robbie, I was going to say, why don't you just come up here
first.
And talk to us and ask another question?
Okay. Yeah, Robbie's here in person. Robbie and
Dave. He's literally 10
good,
feet from
good
us.
Good to see your face, Robbie and Dave. You're prettier than I thought. You're more handsome than I thought you were going to be. I think they can take 2 or 3. They swept the Phillies. They can take 2 or 3 against the Cubs. Plus, you got Lance McCullers coming back.
Here, I don't want to jinx them. I'm just going to say that for everybody that doubted every time, including myself, they put out one of these lineups in the last couple of weeks that looked like it wasn't capable of being a major league lineup, and how many pitchers have stepped up, and the fact that you're not going to see Hunter Brown in this series, but you are going to see Fromber on Sunday. You
right.
have the ability to see if you get a good Lance McCullers on Saturday. You have the chance to compete from that perspective as well. I'm not going to ever now, and they're good at home. I'm not going to bet against the Astros. Yeah. I said, yeah, they do have a good chance to win 2 out of 3.
Yeah, they'll take 2 or 3, Robbie. Good seeing you. Thank you for calling in. Let's get to our car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? We'll discuss next. It is the Bees live from Cactus Jacks on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! Give you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Thank you to Cactus Jacks for having us out. Fantastic food, fantastic time, fantastic people. Robbie was here to see us earlier. Jimmy and Jill. Jello shot Jill, apparently.
Oh, she likes to party, huh?
Well, that's how her husband introduced her.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's my wife over there, Jello Shot Jill.
Would you ever call Lisa Jello Shot Lisa?
No chance.
Okay.
We had Go Cougs out here earlier.
Oh, yeah, listener Jacob, yeah.
Yeah, Jacob, yeah.
Been a good time out of Cactus Jacks. Tomorrow we'll carry the good times over to a drift in the Heights. It'll be a good time there. All right, car wreck of the day. What you got?
We talked about this, fellas, a little earlier, but it has to be addressed. The NBA has got to do something to figure out this hat deal. Yeah. Like, the fact is that it used to be that you're not supposed to know, you know, the or address the fact that a trade's been made. Now, the graphic says who's on the clock, and in the corner it says proposed trade to so-and-so in play or in place or whatever like that. But then you still force the kid to go up and take the picture of a lifetime with the commissioner
with the wrong team hat on,
then throw him in front of the media with the wrong team hat on, and then the announcer has to go, hate to break it to you, or maybe it's a good thing, but looks like you're going to so-and-so. Like, we all know, yeah, to make it official, you have to go through to the new NBA year, But until you get there, no one's going to bitch if you decided to give them the hat of the team you were traded to and then for some ungodly reason it doesn't go through. No one's going to hold you accountable for that as opposed to every picture looking like, why the hell is Malawak wearing a Rockets hat?
Or is Rudy Gay wearing a Rockets hat?
Back in the day.
Yeah. I don't know why they just can't move.
Just fix it.
Either move the draft a little bit later or move the year, like the calendar new year, a little bit early. It's a week apart.
Yeah.
Why can't they figure that out?
It's so weird.
It's just annoying.
I hate it all. I hate the hat. I hate the graphic. Everybody knows the Rockets aren't on the clock. Not only are you showing the graphic, but you're showing Bobby Marks' needs.
Yeah.
The Rockets are on the clock. What are their needs? Shooting. Like, well, they traded for Durant. It's all right. Like, I hate it.
Need
so
shooting,
weird.
So they draft a 7'1".
Yeah, I was going to say, how many people go, oh, they need shooting. Oh, they drafted a big man. Those idiots. How many people don't know what we already know, which is the deal's done?
Yeah, just, I'm so with
dumb.
You. It is ridiculous. I have a few. AB stole mine, too. There's an old lady in a rocking chair on 45. She's been there all day. She was
just in the middle of 45?
Yes. It's no one is moving on
45. What part?
It's right at Cypresswood area. I just missed her, apparently. Like, I just missed her on my way here.
Northbound or southbound?
She's in a lane?
She's in the middle of the highway.
What?
I don't know if it's north or south, but it's, like, blocking both traffic. Yeah, look at this. They're actually going around her. There's a woman sitting in a lawn chair in the middle of I-45. That's it. That is it. It's happening right now.
That's a death
All
sentence.
Of the highways right now are, like, backed up because of this. Because people are avoiding 45. They're going over to 59. Traffic right now is a mess.
Who tweeted that?
Thanks said she's to been a there lady, all day?
Thanks to a lady in a rocking chair.
Where's the cops?
She's been there all day. They're, like, in a standstill. She, like, refuses to move. I don't know. Like, that's weird. Like, go.
At a certain point, isn't that obstruction
to where you put
cuffs on her and say, I'm sorry that we're taking
definitely.
You in?
Definitely.
Especially before rush hour.
Yeah, it's at Cypress. It's I-45 North, Cypresswood.
Yikes.
I'm going to have to find another way home. Justin Tucker, 10-game suspension. His career is over.
Oh, yeah. It's over.
George Pickens bailing on a youth camp in Pittsburgh.
Not a great look.
Well,
he's
look
like he's done it for like the last 3 years. And then ESPN's draft coverage for me being atrocious, awful. At least that's what the internet said. What do you got, Brian?
I'll give you two quickly. One, Lance's shoe debacle. Getting to work and realizing you don't have shoes. I can't for the life of me figure out how through the myriad of steps along the way you don't remember. Oh, I don't have shoes on. And the other one would be the Pelicans trade up. I mean, they better be right about Queen, but losing an unprotected first-round pick when you don't think you're going to be a playoff team to move up, 10 spots? I don't get that at all.
Don't forget, listener Robbie, as much as we love him, the fact that he talked to us.
No, it was a great moment.
He talked to us for 15 minutes. He said goodbye to us for 4. And then when we got back on the air, he called us from right in front of us to talk to us one more time.
All-time moment on the show.
Big fan.
Yes.
Me of him, not him of us, although I think that is true as well. Yeah, a woman got out of her vehicle, put a lawn chair in the middle of I-45, pulled out a gun.
Oh,
so
that's the wrinkle. There's the wrinkle that we needed.
Both northbound and southbound lanes of I-45 near Cypress.
I don't think I want to pass the lady, yeah.
No, I wouldn't pass the lady.
No.
Now she's got a gun.
Yeah, she might just decide, I don't like the way you looked at me. I don't want that.
She's already to the point of not making good decisions,
she's
clearly.
She's in a standstill with everybody.
Yikes.
Wow. All right, what's winning?
I mean, that lady, right?
Yeah, it's got to.
I think it's her.
She's got to.
She won something today. Car wreck of the day belongs to her. All right, thank you, Cactus Jacks, for having us out. Terrific time. Can't wait to come back out. Bang, bang, Cactus Jacks. We're going to be out of Drift in the Heights tomorrow. Hope to see you there. Thanks to Age for doing the hard work. Brian pulling double duty before he takes another 2 weeks of PTO. He's blank on Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow from Drift. Good night, everybody.